right, I'm nervous, you see. Oh, you hold it for me. And,
just say, you know, like, talk about yourself.
Oh, hello, how's everybody? I'm here with a woman by my long self, and I really want someone with me, but I don't want no man, and I'd rather have a lady than to have a man. Because a man is good in his place, but he gets out of his place sometimes. But you see, I want a nice, decent, Christian lady like me. I'm a Christian woman. Nothing is wrong goes on with me. I've been a widow, soon be 7 years, and I've been sleeping here in this home here for 7 years. Not in this one, but in another home. And I'm so thank God that he keeps me here, living free from sin. They say you can't live free from sin here, but yes, I can live free from sin here, because I don't want no men in my house. So thank you.
Tell me, where were you born?
Where was I born at? In Crystal Springs, Mississippi. And my mother was named Emily, and my father was named Austin Pickett, and I had 9 brothers and 4 sisters. And I didn't have but the 4 children of my own, and the good Lord come along and take them to heaven and took 2 husbands of mine, and that's the reason I don't want any man at all.
tell us again how old you are.
Oh, I don't like it much being very 100 years old, and that's the reason I can live free from sin. And I'm just an old lady here, and I love everybody in the world. No, I never did go to school. I worked for Catholic people, and I just went to nurse their children. I went to work when I was 7 years old, and I worked until I got so old up here now I don't have to work no more. Uncle Sam is my husband. He's my mother. He's my father. He's my brother and my sister. Oh, well, I don't want foolish them old things. I don't want them get...
Oh, come on. That's what we want, some of your stories.
Yeah. You want the stories?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was a little girl, I used to didn't play with nobody but the boys. But after I got a big girl, I didn't want to play with the boys. I wanted to play with the girls. And the boys run me down one day and run me in the creek of water. And I hollered, hello, hello, hello. I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. But I did not drown. And so my mother heard me, and she come a running and pulled me out the water. You want to know how deep the water was? It wasn't but 4 feet deep. And I got scared and frightened and run in the water from those boys. I did. That's true. That's a true story. I didn't play no games. I didn't know none.
Did you ever sing any songs?
No. But I used to dance.
What kind of dance?
Oh, I could buck dance. I could do most any kind of dance that would come along. I can beat some of these youngsters right now dancing if I would dance, but I just don't dance.
Where did you
live? While living down south, Crystal Springs, Mississippi, I'd run 2 and 3 miles to get to a big dance. Ooh, I love it. I love dancing.
Wow.
I sure do. And this is Elizabeth Franklin.
Could you tell us about some things that happened to people that you really couldn't explain, like people who had spells or something put on them? Could you tell us something about any of those
I never didn't know about none of that, honey. My mother never did allow me to go out much like that. Mm-hmm. But I did have one friend girl. She had a fit one day. She had a fit. The doctor said it was a fit. And so she had a fit, and when she run and grabbed me, she grabbed me right by my leg and held me there right hard and tight. And I hollered, murder, murder, murder. And she turned me loose and broke and run. And the dogs got at her and caught her and tore her dress off of her. That is true. Oh, yeah. That was when I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. Yes, a little girl.
Did
you
ever
put your age down there yet?
Ma'am?
You never put your age down.
Well, she said she was almost 100.
net worth almost 100.
You ever see anything happen?
Yes, I've seen lots of things happen.
Well, tell us about some of those things.
Well, one Saturday, I was living on a white man's place, me and my husband, who died up here. They was had a molasses mill, and they had a gambling place there. The gambler, they would say, these little gambler, they would say the evening, and they would say the night. And so, well, the boys was all about gambling, and I went on up there to the store, and so I said, Mr. Madison, where my husband? He said, he's down there to the shack. I said, Carrie, go down there and tell them. I said, I'm up here at the store. Come on up here and let's get the groceries and go home. Well, he went on, me and him went and got the groceries and we went on home. And there's another friend of ours was staying there with us, and we tried to get him to go. He was named John. And so, well, John wouldn't go. And just as we got home and crossed the little creek, John got shot in the back, and he fell on his face, and I screamed and I hollered. And I run there and I said, John, is you dead? He said, I can't say nothing. And I said, when my husband got there, he said, John, who that shot you? He said, that guy would come from Chicago. He said, he took all the money I had. I said, he didn't take that $250 you had. I said, and you haven't paid no rent? He said, well, Miss Franklin said, I couldn't take it, do nothing with him. Mr. Franklin was gone. And I said, my husband was a little man. And my husband run on up to the white folks' house and called the law. And the law come down and got him. And he swore he didn't have it. And he had the money hid down in the seat of his pants. That's true. I see it all of that. That ain't the only one I see got shot now that way. I did, that's true.
Yeah, we get the same thing going all the time.
And that's why we should all get together. I can't get where I'm coming from. You ain't coming. This child ain't got time. She got to wait for mama.
Hey, tell me, we were talking about hair, remember?
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about why people save their hair or make sure that they put it in the toilet to flush it down? Can you tell us why they do it?
Yes.
Why?
Because if they want it to grow and want this to stay on their head looking lively.
Well, why do you have to save it or put it in the toilet?
Well, they don't save it. They put it in the toilet and let it go on down to the big creek and let the creek carry it on off and it'll go to grow. When it gets down in the water, down to the ground, it'll seep right onto the ground and it'll grow right on. Sure. Well, I can tell you that now.
Where did you first hear that one?
This one? I've been knowing that ever since I was a little bitty girl.
Well, who told you that?
Didn't nobody. My mother told me to always bury my hair. I throw it in the water. Said, don't bury it. Said, throw it in the water.
Why not bury it?
I don't know. She told me that. No, I never did bury it. I always carried to some water and threw it in there.
Water.
They said carried to the water and buried, and he let it seep into the ground itself.
And it'll grow.
It'll grow faster.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any stories about why your hair falls out?
Well, because it gets too dirty. Mm-hmm. And so it's too much down that gets in your head. Because my hair used to be long. And I got so I couldn't able to take care of my hair, and I don't go to no hairdressers. I just tend to it myself. I don't let nobody fool my head. No reason I'm tender-headed, and I just can't stand nobody combing my head. And that's the reason I just tend to it myself and comb it. And so that's the reason that I don't bother with nobody.
Mm-hmm. Why do people cut their hair by a certain sign of the moon?
That's to make it thicken up on your head. Make a big bush of hair to have.
Tell us about that.
Well, if you want your hair to be thick, all the strenuous hair that fuss on the new of the moon.
Did you hear that from your mother too?
No, ma'am. I just knew that myself. I took that up myself. Yeah, I took that up myself. And so I commenced to trim my hair on the dark of the moon one while, and it didn't do nothing. It just did one thing. And so, well, I said, I'm going to wait till the new of the moon, and then I'm going to trim my hair. I plait up in a little bit of plaits and cut just about that much off and throw it in the water, and it just thickened up, just thickened up.
Is that right? And you don't believe that you're superstitious?
No, ma'am, I don't believe in superstition.
Why do you think the first sign of the moon makes it grow?
Well, the moon's growing.
That's right.
And then if you want it to be real thick, cut it on the full of the moon when it gets a great big moon.
That's the way your hair will be.
Yeah, your head will be full of hair. No.
Never heard of that.
No, ma'am.
Why do you have your teeth pulled at a certain time?
Well, because your blood ain't in your head. It's in down in your body.
Tell me about that.
Well, because that you will flood to death, or bleed to death. Your mouth will never get well. Harder.
When's a good time to have this done?
Well, pull your teeth on the full of the moon. The moon is down. Your blood is down.
How old were you when you came up to Detroit?
I come up here when the wreck after the First World War.
So
you know when that ain't been so long. You know when bro.
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them come up here.
Well, then about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You went to church then in the South, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you go to one of those singing churches?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about your church.
Oh, I get told my church I get too happy.
Yeah, come on. Tell us about the singing church and the people that have the spirit then.
The church doors couldn't never open unless I was there. And I went all the time to church. And before I got religion, I was sick all the time. I know
what story.
Now, folks don't believe it, but yeah. I noticed some of them do believe it.
Well,
they have seen it.
Did.
Well, you know it. But she wants to hear it now. She's going to tell it right. Well, I had my pastor to come there. He wasn't my pastor, but he just called me Sister Franklin. And then I heard him give me home there, and I was sick all the time. And our brother Jeff Lewis and brother Isaac Williams, two old preachers. And so they come there and they read the Bible. I fall out in the field all the time, and I said, well, I know I'm going to die. And that Monday morning, I got up and went to the field, and Brother Isaac told me not to go. I said, well, Brother Isaac, I'm going to church. I'm going to the field, and tomorrow, the night, I'm going to church. He said, oh, no, Sister Lizzie, you ain't going. And some would come up in my throat. And the biggest one of these had big size agate marbles. And what you reckon that was? It was a rubber ball come in my throat, and it run all around in the house and run up under the bed. I don't know where it was, a ball or what it was, but it sure did do it.
Where did it come from? Do you know?
No, I do not know. And Brother Mason, he took, I've been all over the whole university world. No, I don't have to go now. That ball went out, come out of me. And Brother Mason took that ball. I was living in Greenwood. He took that ball. Yes, ma'am. And Greenwood, Mississippi, I'm living right there. And so he took that ball and he changed all over in Europe and everywhere else. I've been all in Africa and everywhere else. I see my black sisters and brothers. Just that little ball, and he brought it back. It had no little diamond things all around in it. Where the white folks kept it and kept it and kept it. He didn't come back under a year. And when he come back, he brought it back to me and it's in a little bitty box. And he brought it here, and I never got shed of that ball, not until I come here in Detroit. No. There's some bad rogues in Detroit. Yes, ma'am. That ball carried me all around over the world. Well,
you believe it?
I believe it.
Well, I believe it too, then.
I believe it.
You know, I've heard of other people that have been sick and bad things coming out.
Come out of them. And he told me, Brother Ice told me, said, when they come up in your throat, said, grab it this way and hold it. And saying, I'm going to knock the devil out of you. That's the devil. I said, oh, no. I said, I don't know. He says, anybody done anything to you? I says, no. He said, you eating the same thing? I says, no. And I said, my husband, he was standing there. My husband standing there. He wanted to stop it. He said, no, don't stop it. He said, give me the box of salt. He just comes through and sold.
What was the salt for?
Make him stop running.
Did the salt work?
The salt white. He stopped running and run right up in the corner like that. Over yonder, and he went there and took his white pocket hand and sold it and picked it up. And then he went on.
How did you feel after that?
My throat felt sore, but it didn't last no time. He gave me 2 bottles of olive oil and I drank it. Didn't be the vials of them. And he said, drink it before you get ready to eat or drink any water or anything. And the next day, I get up and go to the field and walking, and I've been walking ever since this rheumatism struck me. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know anyone else who has something like this to happen to them?
No, I don't.
That, you know, got religion in an unusual way.
No, I do not know. No one at all. And that night I went to church, and nobody couldn't preach in that church, Brother Mason and nobody else, not until I got through. The next morning the sun was rising, and my husband, we met him coming. We lived 4 miles from Greenwood, and we lived 4 miles, and we walked all the way home, me and my husband's 2 aunties. They were surprised. They knew that I was sick. Oh, they had the service. They just had prayer after I got up, telling them about all this rigmarole about this ball in me and how it worked in me and how I'd fall out in the field and one thing or another. And they drove the white folks all out of town to your home there to hear me tell it.
Lightning.
Well, I sure was struck by lightning. Well, I went to carry Miss Jensen offered her clothes on a Saturday morning. And it's cloudy. And my mother said, now you go on, girl, and carry them clothes. And said, Nicky's back. And I wouldn't come back like all. I went to playing with the girls. And so Miss Jensen's daughter, and so she says, well, Lizzie, said, you better go on home, Aunt Emily. Said, it's going to rain. I said, oh, Miss Jensen. I said, you have a time I come. You don't want me to pray with Mamie and them. She said, yes, I do. Said, I'm going to come over there this evening, Mamie and them, and get you. I said, okay. And before I got halfway home, was a big old penny oak tree was standing there. I leaned up against the tree and someone pushed me back. Just pushed me back. The second to third time they pushed me back, I stayed over this way. I said, what in the world is going to become of me, Lord? Just that very way. And so, well, they says, you stay away from there. And the rest of streak of lightning come right down by that tree and busted that tree open. And I had on a white dress. And so I had that white dress on and it got scorched just as brown as you brown bread or anything. And when I broke and run and it was just pouring down rain, my mother never stand on the porch. And I couldn't say a word and I just run and fell up on the porch. And she said, my child is dead, the child is the lightning done struck my child. And I couldn't say nothing. And all of them, I could hear them hollering, but I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk. And so, well, he says, well, you, and they picked me up and carried me in the house, and pulled my clothes on, put me in the bed. And she told my brother to get on the mule and go get the doctor. And when the doctor got there, he said, she ain't broke. And she, I just kept my hand back here and said, she means her back is broke. And he said, no, ain't nothing the matter back. He said, well, if y'all think it's broke, say, y'all better take my place. And so, well, they didn't do it. And so, well, I got up. When I did get so I could talk, he said, I'll stay here till she gets so she can talk. She be talking to Ricky. Well, I did. I talked all that evening. And Miss Jensen, all of them, the old white lady. Yeah, she's a white lady. She come down, she rubbed and she felt. She said, I don't want my Lizzie to get. And his, her daughter, Mamie, one that I paid with all the time, she wanted me to go home with her. I said, no, I can't go. She, the doctor said, no, she can't go. She got to stay in the bed 3 or 4 days before she go. And said, Lizzie, Aunt Emily said, we're going to take Lizzie and keep her over there a week or two. He said, well, I wish you would, said Terry, she'd get better. And after I stayed over there a week or two, well, I was better then. I was ready to come home. Yeah, someone just pushed me away from that tree. I don't know what that's the spirit of God. That's what pushed me away from that tree. I said to the Lord, nothing here was pulling me away. That's what I said to him. The spirit. I think about that right now. Every time it gets the thunder and lightning, I think about that.
Before you said that, what was his name, Brother Jeffrey?
Isaac Williams and Jeff Lewis.
Jeff. Why do you think he asked you if somebody had done something to you? What did
I
he
don't
mean?
I don't know. He thought he thought I swallowed something. But ain't nobody done nothing.
And he asked you if you eat anything from anybody. Why did he ask you
I
that?
Don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he asked.
Don't
there.
Tell me about
snakes, I'm scared of snakes. I can go like you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of snakes.
Do you ever know anybody who had a snake or something in there?
Don't? Never have.
And it wasn't a real snake, but it was a spirit or something?
Some God reckon so. I never did know no one.
Well, come on, tell us some more.
Oh, I don't know no more now. I'm tired. Now, ask that
spirit. I'm not here.
I know they give them bad names, but some of them is good and
yeah,
some
right.
of them is bad.
Right.
And so just back into here and everywhere else, we don't have to pick up the bad spirit, we pick up the good spirit. Yeah, that's the way it is, me. And everybody down in Mississippi sure love me, don't care how far I go, I have plenty good white friends. I sure do. There's some, I live by some white folks right over yonder. They neighbors, the best friends that I reckon I ever used to have. I don't know. But when I was in Texas, I had good friends there. I've been all over in Texas, never went over there. But I just been over there. And so I just wanna talk about Texas a little bit.
Go right.
I was talking about Texas. Well, they come at my husband and wake on the railroad. And I'm living in Christian Springs. And so, he went over there and he was a mother hand for getting drunk. And so he got drunk one Saturday. He was to send me some money and he didn't send the money. I waited a week and he didn't send the money. And so I called up over there. Got Mr. Slade to call up the man in the post office and the depot. And so, well, he called up. He said, well, is William Franklin there? He said, yes, he's here. He's out on the road working now. So, well, his wife wants him, says, tell him to send her a telegram right away. Is she sick? I said, no. She just wants to hear from him. She hadn't heard from him. He wants to send her some money, and she needs some money. And they said, well, we'll send her some money. Wire her some money. Say, you give her $50, and say, we wire you when you get there in the morning. So he called me back in the office there and gave me $50. And so the next morning I went on back downtown to see what he put about it. And so he says, Lisa, I got mine. I said, well, I'm got mine too. He said, now you're satisfied. I said, we'll say you'll get another drop of money one day next week. I said, well, I want it. I need it. And he said, well, I said, you sell the other mules. I said, no, I ain't gonna sell the mules. I'm gonna keep my mules. And I was living on my daddy's place. And I said, I'm gonna keep it. And I said, they're working them, and I'm gonna let them stay right there. And he said, well, I won't be home till Christmas. I said, well, all right. I said, well, you look for me most any day. And so he got uneasy about me. He said, well, she said she's coming. She won't come. And so he sent the money right on and told me not to come. Please don't come over there. Mm-hmm. And so I goes on over there. Soon she sent the other money. I goes on over there. I said, well, I ain't coming. That's why I lied. And so, well, one evening he come off the job. I was sitting up on the porch, just dressed all up in white, sitting on the porch, just rocking, in the rocking chair. And so they said, well, he said, thought you wasn't coming, Lizzie. I said, well, I just want to come over here and see Texas. I didn't come for you. I come to see Texas. I said, I'm going back in 2 or 3 days. And he said, well, you want me to go back with you? I said, no, I'll come by myself and I'll go back by myself. Well, yeah, I saw Texas. Now, I ain't going to tell no more stories.
No, she ain't ready. Yes,
she's ready.
My name is Anna Green, and then once I had a grandfather, and he was awful dear to me. When I was a little girl, he used to set me on his knee, and he would tell me, baby, you always work for your living, and don't look to no man. If you ever marry, you always work, and if you don't have but one dress to put on, pull it off and wash it at night, and it would be dry the next morning when you get up. Don't never look for no man to help you, cause the man give you 2 feet to walk on and 2 arms to work for, and you are always working on your living.
Tell them where you were born.
I was born in Madison, Georgia.
Sixty-five
years ago, I guess. I like Sister Frank. I don't know. I don't know, but I was about 65 years ago.
Yeah.
And so the people all don't want me to go out at night, but I have someone to guide over me, my grandfather, and my cousin Herman, what I call Wickard. They bees with me all the time, and I can get up and go anywhere at night by myself, and nothing never bothers me, because I'm not alone.
What do you tell them to do, Ann?
I tell them, Grandfather, you get in front, and old Wilcox, you get behind. And they always guide me, and nobody never hurt me and never got after me. Because, see, they can't get up to me, because my grandfather's in the front. And the work ox is behind.
And you never have had any trouble.
I never have had any trouble. And I can get up and go any time of night or any day. Because my people's all are scared for me to go out. But I'm not afraid because I'm never alone. When I take one step, my grandfather always take two. And the old work ox behind me always take three. Well, his name is Steve Edwards, but I used to call him Wickox. He's dead, too. But I called him Wickox before he died.
He must have been a hard-working
man. Oh, yes, he was. Mm-hmm. But...
Did you ever hear any other stories of people who have scared Washington?
No, I never know nothing about myself.
Go ahead, tell us something.
What does have to be
come?
That'd be too much. What does have to be?
Well, come on, that's what you want.
No, she don't want no what have to be.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, when I was a little girl, I used to say all the time I was all alone in the world by myself. So then I had a radio. I turned it on, and the story come on, and I didn't stop saying I was all alone by myself after I heard this story. You never alone. The Lord is always by your side. So I'm not alone. The Lord is always guide me and keeps me.
That's
all I do.
Something, you know anything unusual happened to anybody?
No.
You sure?
No.
Okay. Somebody had an enemy and the enemy did something to them?
No, no, I don't know nobody had no enemy and it done nothing to them. I always did care for children, but I never had one of my own. And ever since I've been in the world, I do love children, and I always try to guide the child and tell them to obey their parents. And I never was no one to trying to get the children to not obey their mother and father, because I know it was right, because I didn't have nobody to tell me how to go. Only my grandfather, when I was a little girl, he used to set me on his knee and tell me and teach me. And that's no, he always did tell me to work for my living, cause I was a little girl then, a little girl, and he used to set me on his knee and tell me to always don't be beholden to nobody, long as I had my health and strength to work for my own living. See.
When you haven't seen members of the family, because you're the closest to everybody, what happens sometimes when you don't go around them?
No, be telling me to tell that.
Come on.
ain't got to be telling that.
Oh, come on, don't be bashful.
No, I ain't got to be telling that.
Oh, come on,
man.
Don't be bashful.
That might be the best story.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's the best one.
Well, tell us.
No,
it's
I ain't
going to
tell that.
Come on.
Yeah, I like interesting stories. I'm looking for interesting stories. Stories that are different, that nobody else tells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know no more.
Oh, come on. Tell us what
yeah,
it is.
No. No, I don't know no more.
I said just you. No,
What you want me to tell about the dead?
Yeah. How they keep you in touch with the living. Go ahead.
Because they're usually British. Some guys do because you go any time of night.
Well, yes, them dead folks guide me. I used to live on Laughing in this home, you know, and so one night a voice kept calling, Julia, Julia, Julia. And so it just kept calling. That was her son, see.
Uh-huh.
That was this lady's son. He was dead.
Yeah.
He was going on to the world beyond. And so I said to myself, I said, I wonder, is he done forgot he done moved from here and come back here calling her? And so when I opened the door, you know, when you said, when you opened the door, I had a dog to take up in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I opened the door, this dog run in, because this somebody, I said, I'm going to see who that is. And so when I opened the door, this dog run in, and he didn't call no more. It was her son, but he was going on to the world beyond.
Yeah.
So he come back, was calling his mother. His mother named Julia, and he was calling her.
You actually heard that?
Yes, I actually heard that. And the woman downstairs come up the next morning and says to me, said, did you hear that somebody calling Julia? I didn't tell her what it was, but I know. And I said, oh, yes, I heard it. She said, well, he sure did call, didn't he? I said, he certainly did. Well, it was her son calling her. And whenever I don't go to see my people, the dead always come and tell me, you know, you just live in one time. So now, you, if you be together, you just live in once, then you all should go see your people. When I don't go around, the dead will come and tell me. So now you do your part, you go around them. And be nice to them. Say, don't care what they do to you. Say, you forget that and go around and say, because them are your people. And that's the reason I always, you know, when I don't, when I get mad, when they do something to me and make me mad, see, I don't go around. but this voice always come and tell me to go around them, see.
And
well, I guess it's the spirit, you know. Because whenever I don't do things, you know, by my people, this voice always come and tell me, because if you do something to me, make me mad, see, I don't go there. Then this voice come and tell me to go. And then, see, I have to go, because this voice doesn't come and told me to go, see. And that's the reason I go see my people when this voice comes. But if I go and they do something to me and I don't like it, I don't go back to this voice to them.
Oh.
Yes.
Surely
they know
what
the
devil
is doing.
What did you say?
I said the spirit, the dead know what the living's doing, but then the living don't know what the dead's doing.
Well, how do you account for that?
I don't know, but they tell me that.
Who tells you that?
The Spirit of God.
You actually hear this?
I hear it. Your voice rings into me.
They sure know what to do with
that. They sure do.
I'm telling you.
They sure do. Sometimes at my husband come to me, And I be laying down the bed. He said, "Lizzy, get back." I said, "Oh, what you want me to get back?" I looked like I feel his hand. It feels cold. I said, "Your hand's cold." He said, "I wouldn't stay here, child, for nothing on earth." Said, "Why that? We ain't doing a thing but eating sweet milk and drinking honey. I don't know eating honey. I don't know what to do."
And your husband is dead when this happened.
That my husband was dead tells me that. And I go around there sometime and tell them people that.
What do the people say when you tell them?
They say the dead sure know what the living's doing, but the living don't know what the dead is.
Other people believe this too? Many people believe this?
Yes, and lots of people believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people.
Believe
I believe it. I really believe it.
Did you say you'd been in New Orleans?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about New Orleans. Did you go to one of those, there's a way they worship in New Orleans, I heard about.
Well, I don't know. I never did go to no church while I was down there.
Really?
I was afraid.
Why
my
were you
husband
afraid?
Would never go.
Why were you afraid?
He said his friend said, "I didn't know the way good down in there. And you know, there were some people down there they called, I forget now what they called them. It's a dog street down there. We had to get out. If we don't keep straight, if you turn this way, you go to that dog street."
Mm-hmm.
And there always was some doctors down in there would pull you down in through one of them holes would be down under there.
What? What?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. Tell me.
Well, they pull you down in there. And my half sister like to got killed down in there.
Wow.
They pulled her, but her husband beat him pulling.
In the hole?
Yeah, out there the hole, he pulled her back.
Who pulled her back?
Her husband. She said, "I don't know, I wasn't there."
What else did she say about this?
And she said that she'd never go to New Orleans no more. And she didn't.
Well, what kind of doctors would pull you people into a dark hole?
I don't know. I never did see none of them. And I don't reckon she see them. I reckon she's too scared to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. This is a dark street down there. I know it's a dark street down there. Nobody didn't walk that street all the way. They're like great big fat women. And my sister was a fat woman.
They like the big fat women?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I reckon
you don't know what they would do with the women?
No. I don't know.
Well, why are people afraid then?
Well, they're just scared. The people report you when you go down that door. Never go down that dark street. They call it the dark street. What?
Did you ever hear of that word, voodoo?
Yeah, I hear that quite often.
Well, tell me about it. I
just hear them say voodoo, but what to do, I don't know.
I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm back.
All right. Well, this person has spent great sums of money going to specialists to try to find out the cause of their illness. So finally, they met someone, what they call a two-head person, who was one who's able to see into the spiritual world, let's say. And they suggest that they go to New Orleans and have one of the mambos remove the hex. So they went to New Orleans and sought out the person, and as far as I know, they came back, they were well, the spell had been removed. Fairly recent, about 5 years ago.
Do people actually believe this kind of thing?
Why, of course, Miss B.